بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين بعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس شيء أكرم على الله من الدعاء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, it feels just like yesterday that we were all looking forward to and waiting for and anticipating the beginning of the month of Ramadan. And in the blink of an eye, where did they find ourselves? That half the month has already gone. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever we have done so far. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability, give us the tawfiq to persevere for the remaining part of the month. My dear brothers, this middle part of Ramadan, some people have referred to it as the graveyard shift. It's a time where generally, at the beginning of the month, we're all enthusiastic, we're all excited for the new month. That enthusiasm is there. And then we come to the end of the month, drawing closer to Eid, the big nights. So all of us again have that enthusiasm, that excitement. But generally, during this middle period of Ramadan, we tend to become a bit lazy, want to relax a bit, become a bit tired. But rather, my dear brothers, at this time of the month, by now, our engines should have been warmed up and we should be slipping into our top gear, and we should be putting our foot down and racing towards our goal and our destination, and that is the maghfirat, the rahmat and the mercy and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we come to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, then every single person, be it a person who's going to sit in i'tikaf or a person who's not going to sit in i'tikaf, every single person should knuckle down and now increase his devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hadith Sharif tells us that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan will come, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, ahya al-layla wa iqadha ahla wa jadda wa shadda mi'zara. The Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan will come, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam will spend the night awake in ibadat. And he will see to it that his family also engages in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam become very, very serious about his ibadat. So in these days, now my dear brothers, the days of Ramadan, the closing days of Ramadan, as they approach, we should knuckle down and to become serious in our devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase our salah, our nafil salah, increase our tilawat of Quran, our istighfar and our tawbah. And one thing also, my dear brother, we should be increasing, and this is what I want to talk about today, is that we should be increasing our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our wishes. This act of dua is a very, very great ibadat. It is a very, very great ibadat. When a person lifts his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala who is Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings, Allah who is the fulfiller of all needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whose treasures are unlimited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who even the greatest need is very, very easy, very, very small in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have described dua to be a very, very powerful and a very, very unique act of ibadat. A very, very powerful and a very, very unique act of ibadat. Now why is it a powerful act of ibadat? Because the Hadith Sharif tells us that udu fa inna ad-du'a yaruddu al-qada. We know that what we have, taqdeer, qada. Taqdeer, our destiny, is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written down many, many years before this earth was even created. And every person will live according to his destiny. But Nabi Azim tells us that make du'a. Because if there is anything that is powerful enough and anything that is strong enough to alter the destiny of a person, then that one thing and then single thing will be dua. That is why dua is a very, very powerful ibadat. And dua is a very, very unique ibadat. Because when it comes to our other acts of devotion, our other ibadat, a person who performs salah, then there are shurut, there are conditions. A person has to be in a state of wudu, he has to be pak, he has to be clothed, he has to be facing the qibla. The person, it has to be the correct time for the salah. There are many, many conditions for salah. Likewise, a person wants to perform hajj, he can only perform hajj in certain days of the year. Or a person has to be in Makkah to perform his hajj. When it comes to fasting, then a person can only fast during the day. He cannot fast at night. And likewise, other ibadat, they are shurut, they are conditions, they have to be fulfilled for us to do that ibadat. But when it comes to dua, my dear brothers, what dua is one of those ibadat, wherein a person in any condition, at any time, the person can engage in this ibadat, and he can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why dua is being described as a very, very unique ibadat. Even Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." That dua is the essence of ibadat. Ad-du'a, another hadith, Nabi salam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua, this is true ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question that may come to our minds is that salah is ibadat, zakat is ibadat, hajj is ibadat, tilawat of Quran is ibadat, all of these things are ibadat. But why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call dua the essence of ibadat? Why did Nabi ﷺ call dua true ibadat? This is because in the other actions of ibadat, the purpose of it is to express our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Express our bandagi to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our abdiya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this to an extent is found in the other acts of worship. But when it comes to dua, when a person lowers himself and he humbles himself, and he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tells, Oh Allah, you have and I need. Allah, you give and I want. Then this is the highest form of servitude, the highest form of bandagi, the highest form of abdiyat that a person can express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Hadith Sharif tells us, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. There is nothing more honored, there is nothing more beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. Because a person admits and he confesses and he concedes that there is no one who can accept his dua but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah ta'ala loves this action of dua. Now my dear brothers, today just want to share with you a few etiquettes, a few adab, a few things that we should be doing to get our duas accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, my dear brothers, whose dua Allah Ta'ala accepts, whose dua Allah Ta'ala rejects, how Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua, that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide. But we have to try to do those things that will get our dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a few points I wish to share with you regarding how to get our dua accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the first thing, my dear brothers, is that when we make dua, we have to have ikhlas. We have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does this mean? This means at a time when a person lifts his hands to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person has to have a firm intention, a firm azam, that, oh Allah, I'm asking of you now, and the life of sin that I was leading prior to this, the sins that I was committing prior to this, oh Allah, I make a firm intention to give up those sins, and I am making tawbah, and I am making istighfar to you, and I am repenting for those sins. You know, if a person, if there is a beggar, and the beggar comes to ask of you for some money, and we know that this beggar is going to be using this money for wrong purposes, he's going to buy alcohol, he's going to use it on drugs, then we would not want to give this money to this beggar. Likewise, a person is asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the back of his mind, he wants to use these ni'mats to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A youngster was sick the entire week. And now at the end of the week, the weekend is coming. And now he's making dua, Allah, give me good health. But the intention is that so that in the weekend he can go out partying and engaging other haram activities. We are playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing when you make dua, be sincere and be true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is when we make dua, we should have firm conviction, firm yaqeen, firm hope, firm certitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our dua. Quran Sharif tells us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. One of the ayats of Quran that gives us the most hope. Allah ta'ala says, make dua to me and I will definitely answer your dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Make dua to me and I will answer your dua. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبِرُونَ عِبَادَتِي سَدْخُرُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Those people who turn away from making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes displeased with them. Insan, you ask a person for a favor once, he might help you out. A second time, he might help you out. But the third time, he will get upset. Ask insan and he becomes upset. Don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes upset. The Hadith Sharif tells us, اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst you have firm yaqeen, firm conviction that my Allah will accept my dua. The Hadith Sharif tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ بِدَعْوَةٍ أَيَّرُدَّهُمَا صِفْرًا لَيْسَ فِيهِمَا شَيْءٍ. That Allah Ta'ala is bashful. Allah Ta'ala is shy. Allah Ta'ala feels very, very shy that when his banda raises his hands and asks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels shy to return those hands empty. Allah Ta'ala wants to give the person something. So when we make dua, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with firm yaqeen and firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our duas. Another important thing, my dear brothers, sometimes a person feels that I am a gunahgar, I am a sinner, I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can I now go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever accept my duas? Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmatullah alayh, a great muhaddith, a great faqih of the ummah, he says, لا يمنعن أحدا الدعاء ما يعلو من نفسه يعني من التقصير. فإن الله قد استجاب دعاء شر خلقه وهو إبليس حين قال رب أنذرني إلى يوم يبعثون. Sufyan bin Uyayna says something very, very remarkable. He says, you know that you are committing sins. You know very well that you are committing sins, you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should not stop you from making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of the worst of His creation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had banished shaitan from Jannah, at that time shaitan made one dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi anzirni ila yawm yub'athun. Wallah, give me life until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah ta'ala accepted this dua of shaitan. If Allah could accept the dua of Iblis, of shaitan, so we who have iman in our hearts, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not answer our duas? So when we make dua, have no doubts about it. Allah will definitely answer our duas. Make dua wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba wal firm yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is going to accept my dua. And the Hadith Sharif tells that Allah ta'ala accepts the dua of a person as long as the person is not hasty. Sahaba asked, Umar isti'ajal ya Rasulullah. Oh Allah's Nabi, what do you mean by being hasty? A person, Allah's Nabi replied, that a person says, I'm making dua, and I'm making dua, and I'm making dua, and Allah is not accepting my dua. So then a person leaves out dua. Rather, if you're making dua and you find your dua has not been accepted, make dua again and again and again and again. Sooner or later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely answer our duas. So that point is, my dear brothers, ادعوا الله وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst you have firm yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will accept your dua. Then the next thing, my dear brothers, at the time of making our dua, we should put our heart, our minds, our bodies and our soul behind that dua. Our hearts, our minds, our bodies and our souls behind that dua. Like a beggar. And my dear brothers, you notice, I will give examples, compare ourselves to that of beggars. Because at the end of the day, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah says, you are nothing but beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is ghani. Allah is the one who is rich. Allah is the one who has everything. Allah is the one who is worthy of praise. If a person comes to beg of us, he's not very interested in us, he asks us, we refuse him, then the person goes away and we go on our way. But once a person comes to ask, and then you refuse, And then he continues to ask, and he persists, and he begins to cry. Allah ke waste kuch de do. Allah say, give me something. At that time, even a hard person, a person who has a hard heart, even his heart softens and he gives this person something. Likewise, when we making dua, put our hearts, our minds, our souls behind that dua, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهِنْ. Allah does not accept the dua of that person who is mine, his heart is not in that dua. And another important thing, my dear brothers, yes, the du'as of Quran and Hadith are very, very powerful. The du'as we find in Quran, the du'as of Hadith. But unfortunately, my dear brothers, we do not understand much Arabic. So many times we are just merely reading du'a. One is to read the du'a, and one is to beg and make du'a. Many times, because we don't understand the meanings of these du'as, so then we are just merely reading these du'as. These du'as are very, very powerful. We have to make those du'as. But also with that, my dear brothers, we should make dua in our own language. The language we understand, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that there's more feeling in that dua. We have a habit of just reading dua. It becomes some sort of ritual. That is why our ustad mentioned to us that one day one person was going for umrah. And he asked one pious person that now I'm going to go before into the Roza Mubarak. I'm going to stand before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Kya parna hai? Kya parna hai? So this pious person answered, ye parne ki jagah nahi, ye mangne ki jagah hai. This is not a place to go and read du'as. This is a place to go and beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we make du'a, put our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how urgently we want our du'as to be accepted. Then the next point, my dear brothers, when we make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to put our weaknesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put our weaknesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find people who are begging, they don't come to our homes or they don't stand at the traffic lights or at the street corners, well dressed, looking fine. Rather the person sometimes will put up a lie. He'll duck one of his arms or he shows some other sort of disability. Why? Because he wants to attract the mercy of this person, of the person who's going to give him something. He wants the person to feel pity upon him. Likewise, when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should express our humility, our humbleness, our weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran Sharif, we find in Surah Maryam, Allah ta'ala relates to us the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. We know Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, for many years he had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to grant him a child, a son. And Allah ta'ala, in his wisdom, did not accept those du'as for many years. But at the beginning of Surah Maryam, Allah tells us the du'a which was accepted, the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salatu, which was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala expresses the words of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Rabbi, inni wahana al-azmu minni, washta'ala ra'su shayba, walam akum bi du'aika rabbi shaqiyya. Zakariya alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I've become old. Wallah, my hair has turned grey. Wallah, my bones have become weak. Allah, you have always been there for me. Oh Allah, please accept my dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know when he went to give da'wat in Taif. And we know the famous story, the people, the ruffians of Taif, they turned against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they pelted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam until the Mubarak body of Nabi alayhi salam began to bleed. Nabi alayhi salam managed to flee this rough group. And he went and took refuge in a garden. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first words of Nabi alayhi salam was, Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. Oh Allah, to you I express my weakness. Oh Allah, to you I express my lack of planning. Oh Allah, to you I express the fact that people have looked down upon me. And Nabi salam makes the dua. So when you make dua, my dear brothers, we have to express our weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, I am very, very weak. Wallah, I am in need. Wallah, there is none for me besides you. Wallah, if you will not help me, wallah, who will help me? Put our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, my dear brothers, another important point. When we're making dua, we have to try to look for the moments of acceptance. The moments of acceptance. Again, my dear brothers, I reiterate the point. When Allah would accept dua, whose dua Allah would accept, it's not in our hands. Allah will decide that. But we have to do what we can do to get our dua accepted. And one way to get our dua accepted is to look for those valuable moments. There's moments of acceptance of dua. Again, when it comes to a beggars, you find beggars all the time. But when it comes to the day of Eid, we find that the beggars are lining up the entrances to the Eidgah. On the day of Jum'ah, the beggars are standing at the door because they feel this is a better opportunity to get something from somebody. Likewise, there are certain moments, certain places, certain moments in the year when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more ready to accept the du'as of people. One medieval, we are very, very fortunate, Allah give us the ability to value these moments of Ramadan. Every moment of Ramadan is a time for our du'as to get accepted. The du'as of a fasting person is never ever rejected. The du'as at the time of iftar, medieval, instead of looking at the samosas and the bhajiyas and the dastarkhan, at that time, make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, now we'll have the last 10 nights of Ramadan coming. And especially on the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, these are moments of acceptance of du'a. Likewise, my dear, the time of Tahajjud Salah. This is a very, very valuable moment. Moments, very, very, the time of Tahajjud. Be it in the month of Ramadan especially, and even out of the month of Ramadan. These are very, very valuable moments. Allah's Nabi was asked, that ayyu du'a asma, which du'a is accepted the quickest? The Prophet said, jawful layl al-akhir, the last portion of the night, towards the ending of Sahri time. At that time, du'as are very quickly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why one the Salaf has said, that du'a made at the time of Tahajjud is an arrow that does not miss its target. Du'a made at the time of Tahajjud is an arrow that does not miss his target. And one person said very nicely, if a person has a need, he has a want, and he's not prepared to wake up at the Tahajjud time and make dua for it, that means he really doesn't want it. A person who has a need and is not prepared to wake up at the Tahajjud and make dua for it, that means he doesn't really want it. So this dua after time of Tahajjud is a very, very valuable time. Likewise, my dear brothers, dua after salah. Allah's Nabi asked, which dua is accepted the quickest? He said, first, the dua time of tahajjud, and duburu salawat al-maktubat, after farz namaz. The dua which a person makes individually after farz namaz, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a time of acceptance. Likewise, my dear brothers, we find on the day of Jumu'ah, we know every Jumu'ah there's a certain moment, the moments before Maghrib salah is a time of acceptance of duas. Likewise, a time which sometimes many of us neglect and we do not take value it is the time between adhan and iqamah. The hadith sharif tells us, "Ad-du'a bayna al-adhani wal-iqamati la yurad." O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the du'a made between adhan and iqamah is a du'a that will never ever be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, my dear brothers, we find in hadith sharif mentioned that a person is sleeping at night. It's a very, very ajeeb thing. I find it very, very wonderful. A person is sleeping at night. And then, in the middle of the night, he begins to toss and turn, and then his eyes open. And then he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts the dua of that person. Because the time of sleep is a time of ghaflat, negligence. A person is another kind of mood. But at that time, when a person remembers Allah, Allah becomes very, very happy with that person. And Allah accepts the dua of that person. And likewise, maybe one pious person was saying that he found something very, very effective to get his duas accepted. Is that when he wanted to commit a sin, when there was the urge to commit a sin, at that time, this person will address himself and say, "Oh Allah, for your sake, I am not going to commit the sin. For your sake, I am not going to commit the sin." And then, after that, he will make dua to Allah subhanahu for all his needs. And he says, very, very quickly, Allah would answer those duas of mine. Because when a person, he holds back himself, he restrains himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala becomes very, very pleased with that person, and Allah ta'ala very quickly accepts the dua of that person. So likewise, my dear brothers, there are other times as well when our duas accept. There's a few times which we should value and take advantage of and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these times. Then my dear brothers, at the time making dua, there are certain adab, there are certain etiquettes that we should keep in mind. When a person making dua, preferably the person should be in a state of wudu. And a person should try to be in seclusion. A person should face the qibla. These are all adab of dua
a person should try to face the Qibla. And a person should raise his hands. Mulana Mazhar Sahib, down barakatuhum, when he was down a few years ago, he mentioned that Mulana Abrar al-Haq Haradoi, Rahmatullah Ali, mentioned that when a person raises his hands in dua, then he should raise it to his second button. A person is wearing a normal kurta, roughly where the second button is, in line with his chest, a person should raise his hands up to there. And when it comes to salah, our qibla is the Kaaba. But when it comes to dua, the qibla of dua is the skies. So our hands should be raised facing the skies, in line with our chest. And there should be a slight gap, not a very, very big gap, but a slight gap between our hands. And this is how we should raise our hands. And then, my dear brothers, when we commence our dua, very, very important. Many people make a mistake in this. I'm not saying it's wrong. But many of us start dua by just asking Allah subhanahu straight away. And some people start dua with durood sharif. I'm not saying it's wrong. But what the hadith tells us, that one day, Nabi was sitting in the masjid. One person came and read salah. And after salah, he raised his hands, Allahumma firli warhamni. Straight away, just made dua, Allahumma firli warhamni. Allah, Nabi said, oh, person making dua, you are rushing. You are rushing. Rather, when you make dua, first praise Allah. Not durood sharif. Durood sharif is very, very great. Don't misunderstand me. But first, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyib, mubarak. Any praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi said, one day was walking. He heard Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu making dua. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu first praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he read durood sharif. And then he began to make dua. Allah's Nabi said, sal tu'ta, sal tu'ta. Oh Abdullah bin Mas'ud, you have fulfilled the adab of dua. Now make dua and Allah will accept your dua. So when you make dua, firstly praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the teaching of Nabi Hashim himself. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our du'as. And when you make dua, firstly make dua for ourselves. And then for the other people. Then for our parents and our wives and our children and for the ummah. First make dua to ourselves. To show Allah that, oh Allah, I need the most. To show Allah that I need the most. And when we make dua, my dear brothers, ask Allah for every need. Every need. Our big needs, our big ones, and even our small ones, our small needs, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who can accept our du'as but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِيَسْأَلْ أَحَدُكُمْ رَبَّهُ حَاجَتَهُ كُلَّهَا حَتَّى يَسْأَلَ الشِّعْسَ إِذَنْ قَطَعَ. That a person should ask Allah for all his needs. Even when a person's shoe strap or a person's shoe lace tears, and now he's finding it difficult to walk with their shoes. At that time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a shoe lace, for a shoe strap. And one hadith mentioned, even a person requires salt, then he should make dua to Allah subhanahu for that salt as well. So all our needs we put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't regard any need to be insignificant that I can't ask Allah for it. Yes, of course, we only ask that which is correct, that is permissible, that which is halal. We cannot ask for haram. But when it comes to our halal needs, our jais needs, then every need we put before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't regard it insignificant that I cannot ask my Allah for this year. And lastly, my dear brothers, is that I've mentioned before that when it comes to making dua, one very, very important thing to get our duas accepted is that we only earn and we only partake of that which is halal. We leave out which is haram, and we leave out that which is doubtful as well. In a hadith sharif, Nabi Asim gave a very, very beautiful example. He says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That halal is absolutely clear. An animal that is slaughtered in the name of Allah is absolutely halal. When it comes to a person buying something for 5 rand and then selling it for 10 rand, that 5 rand profit is made absolutely halal. Halal is absolutely clear. And haram is also clear. Everyone knows that khinzir, the swine is haram. Alcohol is haram. Haram. But if in between the Allah's Nabi say, بَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between there is that grey area. And when a person will get involved in doubtful things, then the day will come when the person will fall headlong into haram. Like a person who is a shepherd, and he has a flock of animals, and he is grazing this flock of animals right at the edge of a sanctuary, at the edge of a restricted area, a place where his animals are not supposed to be grazing. Then he will graze them on that border, and the day will come when one or two animals will pass that border and begin to graze in places they're not supposed to be grazing. Likewise, involve yourself in doubtful things, and the day will come when a person will fall into haram. For our du'as to get accepted, my dear brothers, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure, and Allah only accepts that which is pure. In a hadith sharif, Allah's Nabi explained to us an example. He says, you get a person, أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. This person is traveling. We know a person who's on travel, his du'as are accepted very, very quickly. Likewise, this person is in a pathetic state. His hair is untidy, he's covered in dust because of traveling. You know, a person in a pathetic, sorry state, then this person's du'as are accepted very, very quickly. So this person has everything going his way. He's on safar, his du'as can be accepted. He's in a pathetic, sorry state, his du'as can be accepted. This person raises his hands, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, he makes du'a. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what all the reasons for his du'a to be accepted, this person is making du'a. But, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَخُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. But this person's clothing are from haram sources. His clothing is from haram sources. His food is haram. His drink is haram. From head to toe, this person is nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How can this person's dua ever be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear brothers, haram wealth has caused a lot of problems in the ummah. And one of the problems that it causes is that it makes our du'as be rejected. Our du'as are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brother, this is a few advices, a few etiquettes, a few adab, a few things that we should try to do to get our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily, whether it's the month of Ramadan or out the month of Ramadan, we should take out some time to make du'a for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can a day pass, my dear brothers, when all of us are dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can even one day pass in our lives and we don't take our time to raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs? And we have these Mubarak days of Ramadan, my dear brothers, especially the last 10 nights of Ramadan, which are just a few days away. These are very, very Mubarak moments. Many, many people have noticed that their du'as have got accepted on these last 10 nights of Ramadan. So let us give it all that we have, my dear brothers. I know it's going to be difficult. Nobody says it's going to be easy. Nobody said Ramadan is going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. There is going to be effort. We're going to have to sleep less. We're going to be tired at our jobs, at our workplaces. But this effort, when you put it in, then it pays off. The businessman in December, he puts extra effort into his business. He opens early, he closes later, extra time in the business, but he sees the rewards of it. When he sees the profit, he's happy about it. Likewise, put in that extra effort, my dear brothers. Few days, few hours, put in extra effort, the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very great. Allah ta'ala give us understanding, Allah give us tawfiq.